You have your Bibles with you this morning. I'd like to ask that you go ahead and be turning to the 19th chapter of the book of John. There we find John's account of the crucifixion of our Lord. Whether I tell you about Letty Needham or Ruby Burton or Maggie Draper, Velma Smelser, and a host of other ladies that have been in my life, I can share with you this morning that I'm not sure any of those ladies had children, with the exception of one, me. I'd love to tell you about Maggie, who taught me how to visit as a young pastor in the very first church, who would encourage me to be mindful, not just to talk to men about fishing, but to talk to ladies about where they were in their walk in life. I'd love to take the time to tell you about Miss Letty Needham, who took a 14-year-old boy under her wing up in Powder Springs Valley in the mountains in East Tennessee, and she drove, even there in the 70s, she drove a 1956 Chevrolet Bel Air. Now, if you're a car guy, you know the one I'm talking about. Yeah, she bought it new. And it only was driven pretty much on Sunday to church. And she realized there was a 14-year-old boy right there in church as the preacher's boy who was learning how to drive. And one of the greatest days of my life was when she came to me and said, "Joey, would you like to drive me home after church?" There began a short odyssey over that summer as Mom and Daddy knew they had to go to Miss Letty's house to pick Joey up before they could go home, because Joey wasn't riding with them until he rode with Miss Letty. I could tell you about Miss Letty's sister, Miss Maddie, who had a 1954 Corvair. That was the one with a push-button transmission. Didn't have four on the floor. It didn't have three on the stick. It had a push-button right there in the dash. She let me drive that too. Oh, I could tell you about Miss Ruby. Miss Ruby, who would take her young pastor. Miss Ruby, who made world famous chocolate pies. Is your mouth watering yet? She was always the first requested part of any meal the church would put on. Miss Ruby's chocolate pies. And she knew that her pies were of a sinful nature. They would take the most godly man and turn him into the most pagan devil as he would seek to get to her pie first. Miss Ruby always made at least three pies. Two for the potluck dinner, whatever we were. One for the preacher that was hidden away in one of the cabinets in the church kitchen. You knew which cabinet had the chocolate pie in because Miss Ruby stood before it the whole meal to keep my deacons out of the preacher's chocolate pie. I could go on. I could tell you story after story after story of ladies who have molded and changed me, who treated me as their own child, even though I was not flesh and blood. Or I could spend even more hours telling you about the godly mother that God blessed me with as a child. But I want you to understand it is not what our mothers give us, but what we grow up and become able to give others that we have learned from the ladies in our lives. You see, I want to take you, first of all, there to the book of John as I read to the children. And I want to revisit those three verses there. It's the story of the Marys, but one Mary in particular. Verse 25 of John 19 says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother..." He picked that one woman out. There was his mother, there was his aunt, and there was one of his contemporaries. Mary Magdalene was probably pretty close to Jesus' age. But the one he picked out was his own mother. When he therefore saw his mother, and then he noticed the disciple standing by, John, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." If you underline, if you highlight, if you put a little star in the corner, whatever, take note, it says, "And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." What it literally means is that he took ownership of the Lord's mother to make sure she was cared for, she was watched over, she was safe and secure as much as possible. It's almost as if he looked at John and he said, "If you really love me, then take care of my mama." Jesus interrupted the greatest act humanity has ever known. He's hanging on the cross, and an expiatory sacrifice, a sacrifice that says it is taking your sins and my sins upon himself. It is a process God had planned from the very beginning. God had planned this thing from before. He knew. The Bible says he had foreknowledge. And I almost got off on that this morning, Chris, in our Sunday school class, and I knew not to. You talk about going into the weeds when we start talking about the knowledge and the foreordination and the election of God. There's a whole series that we could preach there. But what I want you to know is that from the very beginning, God, Jesus coexistent, knew humanity would fail and put in place before the ever first foundation stone of creation, they put in place the sacrifice of Jesus.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
And yet on that day, in that most important moment, Jesus said, "Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. There's something important I need to take care of."
Yes.
When he saw his mother standing there, I'm sure she her emotions must have been written all over her face. Every lady I've ever met is a... How do you put it? God help me. Every lady I've ever met... This is so hard. I don't like Mother's Day. Because it is so painful for so many. Every lady I've ever met is a ninja in handling pain. Some are even better than that. They understand the heartbrokenness of caring so much that when your child or your loved one or a friend or just someone that you love fails, the pain of that failure falls upon that lady's heart. That's just what it means to be a lady. To have that mothering spirit, to learn to be broken by the actions, the failures and the mistakes and the sins of others. No wonder Jesus could understand what it meant to sacrifice himself, because he'd watched his mother sacrifice herself every day of his life. Because he knew the day was coming. He knew the day was coming. It had been foreplanned, foreordained, foreknew by God the Father. And they had worked that thing out that he would have to die. And he knew his mother would stand there and cry and weep and suffer as she saw her son die on that cross. I believe it gave him strength. I believe it gave him strength to go through the most horrendous death. All week, in fact, for 2 weeks, we may be here most of the afternoon, because for 2 weeks I've been getting ready for this sermon. When I went to Ecuador, I carried 19 sermons with me. I didn't know if I'd preach them all, but I hoped to come home with 20 because the 20th was this one. And I wanted to come home with anticipation of what I wanted to share with you on Mother's Day. It wasn't until yesterday that I got what I needed. I had the opportunity yesterday to go to Miss Ann's surprise birthday party. Miss Ann's surprise. Happy birthday. We celebrated Miss Ann, her 80th birthday yesterday with her family and friends. And I'm so thankful for you all doing that. I asked Miss Ann permission that I would read to you a poem that Miss Ann's husband, Reverend Leon, wrote about Miss Ann's love. I want you to hear, in the very testimony of Miss Ann's family, it wasn't always easy, but it was always filled with faith. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for a wife and a mother and even a young lady. When we walked in yesterday, Miss Ann, I looked at that table full of those pictures of you. Look like in your childhood and your teenage years. And there's one picture that just stopped me dead in my tracks. I grabbed a hold of Penny. I said, "That's the Miss Ann I know." And she was sitting there going, "Y'all know the one." She's just getting ready to unload on somebody. I want you to hear what Brother Leon wrote in anticipation of this sermon. He said, "While traveling through this world in sin, not thinking of any other, I met a lonely girl who had no father, sister, or brother. Her dad had died before her birth. She had never known his love. But I tell you, she was surely blessed by her father up above. For from her heart came kindness like I had never seen before, and love and faith and charity like sands upon the shore. She gave forth with all she had, never asking for a thing. Yes, she was surely meant to be a queen for some young king." I love this. "I saw a picture of you yesterday with long blonde hair and sparkling eyes and a heart so full of joy. She made me feel just like a child who had a brand new toy. She was small and young and beautiful, as lovely as could be. And though I didn't know it then, God sent her just for me. But being the sinner that I was, her hopes were all for naught. And for a while, she did not get the love that she had sought. The love I gave her many times did only bring her shame. But in her heart, there was no wrong, and me, she did not blame. As I look back upon it now, I wonder why she stayed. But through it all, her faith in God did never, ever fade. And though she never pressured me, she never did give up. For life to her was nothing if there wasn't any hope. So through the years and by her love, my life began to change. To me, why God would be so good was very, very strange. But as I read his holy word, I began to understand. Now each day I thank the Lord for my loving angel Anne." I don't know it could be said any better of how a lady can touch a man in a very powerful and meaningful way. Some do it better than others, sure. There are many, they might consider themselves failures, others genius. But all in all, Adam would not have been Adam had God not created Eve. Jesus would have struggled, even being God, had he not very carefully chosen the young girl who would serve as his caretaker, the one who would teach him, instill in him, nurture him, protect him, bring him up in love. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray this morning in the final few moments of this sermon, Lord, I pray that we may just allow our hearts to linger upon a child named Mary and what it must have meant for her to become a mother. Thank you, Father. Let us not just be touched, but let us be moved by her story to appreciate, to emulate, and most of all, while we have the opportunity, to communicate our love to all those ladies who have made such a difference in our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've just now realized that if I preach every point of this sermon, we're going to be here till 2 o'clock. And so what I want you to do is get your pen out, and I want you to take some very quick notes as we move through what I want you to point out, or I want to point out for you about Mary. First of all, I want you to write down, motherhood can be confusing. It can be confusing. In Luke 1:38, Luke tells us, "And Mary said there unto an angel Gabriel, who has come to a young girl to say, you're going to have a baby. You don't even have a husband. You're a virgin, but you're still going to have a baby." Amen. The whole point of that is not the miracle of a virgin birth. That's not the miracle. The miracle is a young girl who says, I'll do it.
Yeah.
How easily she could have thwarted the will of God right there in the beginning of the story. If she'd said, oh no, I think you've got the wrong girl. If she had said, no, you can't be talking to me. But it says in Luke 1:38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I think Luke is making the point that the angel recognized, Gabriel recognized, she had agreed. He didn't need to say anything else. There was no comforting words. There was no words of explanation. There was no words to tell this girl, hey, here's how this is going to happen. Here's what it's going to look like. Here's the process you're going to take. He was done. She just agreed. That's the miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ. We go on there in Luke 2, verse 19. Write that one down too. The shepherds have just got their I started to say their britches scared off, but I don't know if they had britches on. But they were up there in the hills, and the angelic choir that announced the birth of Christ all of a sudden split the darkness into light and began to sing, and they announced to the angels, hey, right now, down the hill in Bethlehem, all the answers to all the questions has just been born.
Yes.
I love the part where Luke says, and they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. That's the King James translators trying to tell us that they were so afraid that they just almost weren't able to move. And yet, when the lights popped out and it got dark again, the first thing they said, let's go check this out.
Yeah.
Let's go find out what's going on. So they go to town. They erupt into a party out there in the street. They're telling everybody about this baby that's just been born. But instead of getting the big head, this little girl in Luke 2:19, she just listened. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Motherhood can be confusing. Motherhood is sometimes commanding. Sometimes commanding. And even as I got the poem from Miss Ann yesterday, I got this point from Skip. Skip's preaching this morning at another church, and he was sharing with me, and he reminded me about how Jesus' mother felt no hesitation to tell Jesus what to do. Have you ever wrapped your mind about that? In preparing to go to Ecuador, it dawned on me that Peter actually looked God in the eye and lied to him when he said, "I'll never deny you." I think that's why Peter struggled there toward the end, and Jesus had to go back when he realized, "I just looked God full in the face and lied." Here, there in the wedding in Canaan, you know the story. You know the story. They went to this wedding, and the party is just about to get hearty, and the wine runs out. Now, it's not just for drinking's sake. Okay, understand, the Bible teaches us very clearly that we should never, ever be under the influence of alcohol. But in that culture, the toast for the groom and for the bride is very important. And you had the best wine possible that everybody partook at the same time. It was almost reminiscent of what we would later come to know as the act of communion. When you celebrated the union of a man and a woman becoming one in God's eyes. And for them to run out of wine in that moment was a terrible faux pas. I mean, it's like the... I was in a wedding one time. I was performing a wedding, and the families had set up all these flowers on all these pedestals, and right in the middle of really the best part, the photographer who had been sneaking around the back trying to get all of his best pictures knocked one of those pedestals over. Can you imagine the sound that made? It was deafening in the midst of that wedding when they ran out of the best wine, when they ran out and they could not toast and bring their individual blessing upon that wedding. It was cataclysmic. Well, Mary, being the mama, she noticed. You remember what she said? She looked at Jesus and she said, "They have no wine. They're out." You know, sometimes it's not what mamas say, but what mamas don't say. Y'all know, you know what I'm talking about. It's when they say enough that you know what they're thinking. What Mary was thinking was, do something. Okay, she said, "They have no wine, they're out." And then she looks at him. Now, I'm convinced there's a whole sermon just right there. Why in the world would she have so much faith at this point in time that she knew he could do something about that? Yet she did, and she fully expected him to do something. You remember his response? His response said, "Woman, what am I going to do with you? Woman, what am I going to do with you? It's not ready yet. I'm not ready to do this yet. I'm just visiting here. Don't put me in the limelight yet. It's not the plan." It is if it's the mama's plan.
Yeah.
And he knew. And he bowed his divine will to the will of his mama. And you think that's significant? You bet. You bet. When we understand that God loves us so much that he changes his own mind to be a blessing to us. God loves you just the way Jesus loved his mama. I love it. And this is what Jan Skip told me he was preaching on. That his mama looked at him and said, they have no wine. And then she looked at the servants and said, whatever he tells you to do, you better do it. You ever heard something like that? You better do it. My mama's talked to me that way. You better do it. That's the way she said it to those servants. Whatever he says, it's in a commanding tense. You do it. You see, there is always some authority. There is some command in motherhood. Very quickly, being a mother is so often challenging. Just write this down. Mark 3, verse 21 and verses 31 through 35. It's at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And it's challenging because Jesus has gone from an overnight nobody to today's superstar. Everybody's heard about him. Everybody knows about him. And he's actually doing everything but getting in a fist fight with all of the Jewish leaders. I mean, he's standing nose to nose with them, calling them Pharisees and hypocrites, telling them they'll have no part in God's heaven. And they're just going nuts, absolutely nuts. If you look there in verse 21, it says, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he is beside himself. Now, the King James says his friends. Most of the modern translations say his family. It is more accurate, and I think the only one that really gets close is the New American Standard. The New American Standard says his people. His people. That's what it literally says in the Greek. His people. The people of him. They heard about it. They went out to lay hands on him. And so you drop on down in that same verse there, in that same chapter in Mark, in verse 31 down through verse 35. And you find this issue of where his family does finally come in. They can't get to him, and he's covered up with people. There's just people and people and people all around Jesus. And so they can't get to him, but they send somebody to him. And this person goes to Jesus. It doesn't tell us exactly who it is. And he says, hey, your mama and your brothers and your sisters are out here, and they want to talk to you. They want to see you. Jesus does what seems to be the unthinkable. He says, who is my mother? Who is my family? But every one of them who do the will of my Father. It wasn't a rebuke or a denial of the relationship he had with his own mother and with what is arguably his half-brothers and sisters. But it is a recognition of God's love for all who would be willing to become the children of God. See, sometimes being a mother or being a lady can be challenging. But I want you to see one more. Motherhood, true mothering, continues even in the face of adversity. If you jump over into Acts 1, Acts, the first chapter, verses 13 and 14. This is my last point. Mamas don't quit. Mamas don't quit. They don't quit in the lives of those people whom they love. I'm thankful that there have always been ladies in my life who would not give up on me, who would not look at little Joy as a boy and a young man, or Joe, the preacher and the pastor and missionary. I'm glad that there have always been ladies in my life, even to today, who don't give up on me. Who understand that yeah, it can be confusing. Sometimes it can be challenging. Sometimes it can be chaotic. but they always continue in the face of adversity. Oh, I could tell you so many stories. But I want you to hear this morning, in this chapter of Acts. Now understand, they've gone to the ascension. Jesus went up in their eyes. The angels come down and says, why are y'all standing around here looking up in the sky? And sends them back to town. They go back to town. They go up into that upper room, and they're still kind of hiding away. This is the eve of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes. And there they are, all in a room. It says in verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. It says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. But catch this last part, with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now, we tend to read over that pretty quick, but I want you to understand, why is she still in the church? The church that took her son. The church that, because of its existence, those Jews and those Romans crucified her boy. She had to stand there on the street corner and watch as he carried that cross from Pilate's judgment hall all the way up the hill until finally he falls under the weight of that cross. She has to stand there. How many times can you imagine she wanted to reach out and carry that cross for him? And then as those Roman soldiers begin to pound those spikes into his hands and his feet, every pound of that hammer was a pound through her soul. And then when that cross laden with his body was lifted up between earth and sky and it was dropped into that hole, that very solid thud was the thud that almost stopped her heart. Oh, can you imagine as she, I don't know if she was standing or if she was kneeling there, just where she could see her boy. I believe she was there the moment he died. When he cried out, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished doesn't mean I'm about to die. It is finished doesn't mean, oh God, I can't wait for this to be over. It is finished meant Jesus was saying, I have done what I have come to do.
Amen.
I have accomplished it. The word is tetelestai. It means it is all now done.
Yes.
And she sat there, stood there, knelt there, I don't know. Surely it seemed like the end for her. And yet, just a few days later, 40 days passed, all these stories. The Bible doesn't really tell us about Jesus having any interaction with his mother during the post-resurrection period. But when we get to this meeting of the church, she's still there. Let me tell you something. There ain't no quit in a mother's love. There ain't no quit. It's the closest thing we have to God's love on this earth. A woman who will love unconditionally. A woman who will care and who will stand on the sidelines and watch that loved one pick and choose and go down a path that they know they shouldn't go. But that mother stays faithful. Says, I'm not going to give up. God will hear my prayer. Oh, those are the ladies I want in my life. Those are the ladies you want to be. Gentlemen, Proverbs 31 tells us King Lamech's mama said, that's the kind of lady, boy, you need to look for in your life. You see, I want to tell you one last thing. I wanted to I wanted to close. If you're 40 and above, you'll recognize this name. If you're 39 below, you won't. And I apologize for that. It truly is your loss. I went back and I looked up about a lady named Irma Bombeck. I mean, everybody, there's some of you who don't have no idea who Irma Bombeck is. But Irma Bombeck was the number one lady commentator of last century on the family and love. She wrote an article. It was carried in over 900 newspapers in America. Her words, she was listened to by more people than most preachers put together during that time. And I want you to hear just a couple of things. She was a humorist. She knew how to find the funny in everyday life. Just a couple of short things that she said. She said, housework, if you do it right, can kill you. That's what she said. She also said, why take pride in cooking when they don't take pride in eating? But here's what she said about being a mama. She said, someday when my children are old enough to understand the logic that motivates a mother, I'll tell them, I loved you enough to bug you about where you were going, with whom, and what time you would get home. I loved you enough to be silent and let you discover your friend was a creep. I loved you enough to make you return a Milky Way. You know what that is, don't you? It's a candy bar. I loved you enough to make you return a Milky Way with a bite out of it to a drugstore and confess, I stole this. But most of all, I loved you enough to say no when you hated me for it. That was the hardest part of all. When I read that, I thought, God, that's where I want to close. A true mother's love stands strong to the very end. If you don't understand it in a